Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with thanksgiving. For we can hear the wonderful message that is written by your servant Paul. And we know that that is your command. We don't take it lightly. And help us to be able to understand it and put what we learn into practice so that we can learn to live a godly life, so that we be truly blessed by you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The title of this sermon is How Can We Reign in Life? And because in chapter 5, Paul said that in 5:17, those people who receive God's abundant provisions of grace and of the gifts of righteousness, these kind of people will reign in life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what he said in 5:17. Now he go on in chapter 6, verse 1. He asked the question, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Because he said that in 5:20, the law was added. Where transgression increased, grace increased all the more. So when people look at this kind of passage, then they say, wow, if where sins increase, grace increase all the more, that means we can go on sinning until we die? No. Paul say, by no means. That is the introduction that he said that. Go back to 6:1. Shall we go on sinning so that grace increase all the more? The answer is by no means, no. So this is the introduction. And you know what's the end? Well, you can keep doing what you want to do, just like what 6:1 is doing. The conclusion is the wages of sins is death. The gifts of God through Jesus Christ our Lord is eternal life. I would like you to write down two names there. 6:1, you write beside 6:1, two names. The first name is Old Testament person. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 6, you write down King Saul. This fellow, he received abundant provisions of God's grace. He was anointed to be the first king of Israel. But that fellow keep on sinning until the end. And then when he prayed to God, God ignored him, did not answer his prayer. You know what's the end result? He go to hell. So, now go back. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Shall we go on sinning so that sins increase all the more? By no means. Because King Saul is the first example. You write down New Testament teaching. Because the Bible say, whatever you say, you have to have two witnesses. The second witness, you write down Matthew, chapter 27, 3-4. What's the name of that guy? It's one of the 12 apostles, Apostle Judah. At the end, He feel remorse. He didn't go to Jesus. He go to the high priest. He go to the teacher of the law. He go to the Pharisee. He say, I sins. I have sins. And the Pharisee and the teacher of the law say to him, what does this got to do with me? That is your responsibility. You know what happened to him? He died. The wages of sins is death. A lot of people, they don't understand the Bible. They say, oh, the wages of sins is death. So everybody die anyway. No, that death is eternal death. Okay? Because in the introduction, 6:1, he says, shall we go on sinning? In other words, the person who keep on going sinning in the conclusion, 6:1 is the introduction, and 6:23 is the conclusion. You can keep on doing what you're doing. The conclusion is the wages of sins is death. But the gifts of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Go to 6:23. Paul is a very, very smart guy. When he say things, he say very, very clear. He let you see what is at the beginning. He let you see what is at the end. If you know the end result, then you pay attention to what he has to say to you. For the wages of sins is death, but the gifts of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I give you the introduction. I give you the conclusion. That means you see what is the end result. Now, you make your own decision. Should we go on sinning and earn something that is dead? Or should we let what? Romans 5:21, let us let grace reign through righteousness. Let grace reign through righteousness so as to bring eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to circle the word, that grace. I want you to write that down. And Paul saying that, brother and sister, do not receive the grace of God in vain. Now is the time for salvation. Now is the time to gain his favor. That time will not last forever. The time will come. If we receive God's grace in vain, he will not hear your prayer, just like he will not hear the prayer of King Saul, nor will he hear the prayer of Judah. I want you to write that down. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 1-2. You know that girl, she memorized Bible verses. Before I say that, she know that already. I don't know how many people know that. We don't know God's word. We can keep on doing what you like to do. In the end, you're going to be remorse. You're going to feel sad. And then you take the responsibility. Brother and sister, those people who receive God's grace in vain, King David say, when they pray to God, God will not listen to him because he doesn't know how to pray. I give you two portions of the scripture. One is Psalm 18. Psalm 18. When they pray to God, God did not listen to his prayer. Verse 41. I want you to write that down. They, right beside they are the one who received God's grace in vain. You write down King Saul, you write down Apostle Judah. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them. They even cried to the Lord, but he did not answer. When King David said that, his son Solomon learned a good lesson. When he learned a good lesson, in the first chapter of the book of Proverbs, he talked about the same thing. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom call aloud in the street. Wisdom raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy street, wisdom cry out. In the gateway of the city, wisdom make her speech. How long will you simple one love your simple way? How long will mocker delight in mockery? And fool have knowledge. And fool hates knowledge. Verse 23. If you had responded to my rebuke, I want you to change that translation. I read the right one. If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my spirit to you. Not my heart. My spirit to you. And make, not my thought, make my words known to you. People ignore God's teaching. They will have no Holy Spirit, nor do they know the word of the Lord. If you do not have the Holy Spirit and do not have the word of the Lord, then how can you pray? Verse 24, since you rejected me when I call and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignore all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. Right beside the disaster, you write down 1 Samuel chapter 28. When King Saul faced the disaster, the attack from his enemy Philistine, he didn't know what to do. God say, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. Right beside your disaster, you write down Matthew chapter 27. When his conscience struck Judah, he know that he has sinned against God, but he doesn't know how to turn to God. And God say, I will mock when calamity overtake you. Verse 27, when a calamity overtake you like a storm, when disaster sweep over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, circle the verse 28, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me. Why? Since they hated knowledge. They don't have the word of God within their heart. They don't know what to do. They do their own way. And they do not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their way and be filled with the fruit of their scheme. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. I say that one more time. Shall we keep on sinning so that grace increase all the more? The answer is no. The answer is no. Because the wages of sins is death. But the gifts of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So now I give you the content. I pray that when you teach your children, tell the consequences first. Don't just teach the content. Because he say, I don't buy that. You know? But if you know the consequences, they will buy it. They're not that dumb. Okay? They will buy that. Make it simple, make it clear, so that they can understand. Now, go back. Remember the title of my sermon? The title of my sermon is, How Can We Reign in Light? I didn't say, should we reign in light? I say, how? That means we all have to reign in life. If we don't reign in light, we're going to reign in death. We're going to reign in sin. So we have to reign in life. But then Paul is telling us, how can we reign in light? There's two steps. Step number one, die with Jesus Christ. I didn't say die, D-I-E-S. I say D-I-E-D. Now the question is, if we die with Jesus, how can I die with Jesus? Paul gave us the answer. Die with Jesus through baptism. I don't think a lot of pastors, I'm not saying they're regular saint, regular Christian. I don't think a lot of pastors understand the true meaning of baptism. Have they read Romans chapter 6? Definitely they have read Romans chapter 6. But I don't think they truly understand. If they truly understand, in 2002, I come back from New York to Edmonton and to be the senior pastor in the West Side Church. You know what? I served there for 4 years. I count the number of people that I baptized. Can anyone tell me what's the number? Do you know how many number? Over 400 people. That means all these pastors pastoring all the sheep, and they don't even know what the heck they're doing. That means they're ignorant. They ignore God's advice. When Paul say, in verse 3, don't you know, he mentioned it twice. Don't you know? You know what? When he say, don't you know, that means a lot of people, they don't know. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? What Paul trying to say is, baptism is very, very important. You know what? If you don't baptize in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that means you don't die with Jesus. If you don't die with Jesus, then death reigns in your life. That means sins reign in your life. Do you remember last week? Two things can reign in your life. Death can reign in your life. At the end of the day, then you die. Sins reign in your life, then you will die too. So we need to be baptized with Jesus. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize. That means I die with Jesus. Jesus Christ died on the cross. When did he die on the cross? around 2,000 years ago. When I baptize, let's say today I baptize, that means I proclaim to the whole world, I proclaim to Jesus, 2,000 years ago, you died for me, now I die with you. The dead that you die, I'm united with you. I'm dead already. I'm dead already. The Bible say in 5:7, if I dead already, I am not under sin anymore. No dead man can sin against God because he's dead already. So sin cannot reign in your life. So if any person who did not want to be baptized, that means he want to go to hell. What did Paul say, the conclusion, 6:23? The wages of sin is what? Is death. Because you keep on sinning, you know what? If you did not baptize with Jesus, you have to keep on sinning because sins reign in your life, death reign in your life, you're bound. You have no choice. You're under his control. But the moment you baptize into Jesus, you die with Jesus, a dead man cannot sin anymore. I give you four passages. I want you to listen carefully. The first one, chapter 6, verse 7. Because anyone who has died has been free from sins. Anyone who has died has been free from sins. That means sin cannot reign in his life. He is set free. That means anyone who baptized into Jesus, he died with Jesus, he has been set free from sin. Sin cannot reign in his life anymore. Grace will reign through righteousness. We will reign in life through Jesus Christ. Second portion of the scripture, 6:14. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. What does it mean by sin shall not be your master? Sin can only be your master if you are under law. When a person is dead, he's not under law anymore. I'm going to explain that in chapter 7, and I'm not going to mention it now. When you are dead, you are not under law. Any person who is alive is under law. But when you are dead, you are not under law. If you are not under law, then you are under grace. You let grace reign in your life. 5:17, 5:21, you will reign in your life. You have to die in the sin. Okay? 6:7, 6:14, now read 6:18. You have been set free from sins and have become slave to righteousness. You have been set free and become slave to righteousness. That's the third time he mentioned about free from sins. The fourth time, 6:22. But now you have been set free from sins and have become slave to God. Brother and sister, do you know why Paul mentioned the four times that you are set free from sin? Moses, do you know why? Do you know why Paul has to mention four times that we are set free from sins? Do you know why? Do you know why people has to mention it four times? They don't listen, no other. Well, if a person mentioned it four times, that means you don't get it the first time. I don't think you get it in the second time. I don't think you get it in the third time. So I mentioned it in the fourth time. Hopefully, fourth time you will mention. You know what? You look at the entire passage. It's only 23 verses. But it mentioned it four times that you are set free from sin. You know what? Brother and sister, if we truly understand that we are set free from sin, We won't even ask the question in 6:1, shall we keep on sinning so that grace increase all the more? You want grace to increase all the more, you keep on sinning. You keep on sinning, that means you're not set free from sins. Does it make sense? I don't think the pastor understands. I don't think the Christian understands. Okay? If the thing you mentioned numerous times, that means we don't get it. You know what? A lot of people will argue, Pastor Lam, I have already been baptized, maybe 10 years already, but I keep on sinning. That's right. I know that. I know that you keep on sinning because you don't know this. Paul mentioned it 4 times. You are set free from sin. I give you one illustration. Do you know how the trainer trained the elephant? What the trainer do is drew an anchor. An anchor is like that. This is a concrete block. He drew an anchor with a hole in here. And then in a chain, and chain the, let me draw this elephant. A big nose, right? And tie that into his feet. Okay? Chain him, and then feed him up. He tried to move. He cannot move because he's chained to the concrete slab. He tried very hard until he hurt his leg. He still cannot move because that is very heavy concrete. He's getting so used to it that he's under the control of his master, of the trainer. Then later on, the trainer take away the anchor, but the chain is remaining in his feet. Because the elephant say, I tried already. I tried numerous times. And I cannot move. I must well listen to the trainer. Every time if there's a chain in his leg, he just listen to the trainer. Okay? Because he tried. He tried to set himself free. But it's in vain. So from this day on, he listened to the trainer. But do you know that? We have been sinning all our life ever since we come out from our mother womb. And we're getting used to under the bondage of sin, just like the elephant. Although the chain wasn't anchored to the concrete slab, we still submit to sin. That's exactly what happened. That's why Paul mentioned it 4 times. Brother and sister, you have been set free from sins already. In other words, I don't think a lot of young baby know that you can walk because he has no strength to walk. All he can do is what? Build up his muscle by crawling. You know, the people crawl, and to build up the strength of the leg and build up the strength of the arm. And later on, he see, wow, daddy, mommy, they all walk. I don't want to crawl. I try. But you know what? You can try. You stumble too. But you can help. We can help him. Because God say to you, you can walk. But although God say you can walk, doesn't mean that you can walk by yourself. You need someone to train to help you to walk. But after you walk a few times, you try to hold his hand. Daddy, I don't need you to hold my hand. I can walk. But he stumbled. Next time, he can even run to you. Am I right, brother and sister? Let us say together, we are set free from the bondage of sins because we baptize into Jesus Christ. Is this important to be baptized into Jesus Christ? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Baptism is not just a virtue. It's saving your life, man. That's why I did it purposely. I don't read it verse by verse. I'm afraid by the time it's 10:30 and I haven't even mentioned what I mentioned it to you. Because Paul mentioned it 4 times that we have been set free from sin. Then he mentioned one more time. 5:12. Let us not under the bondage of sins anymore. I'm sorry, 6:12. Go to 6:12 and 6:13. Do not let sins reign in your mortal body. You know what? If you say that to the people who hasn't even been baptized, this statement, this proclamation is useless because he hasn't been baptized. He's still under the bondage of sin. But once you have been baptized, then he say to you, brother and sister, now you have been baptized, now that you have been set free from the bondage of sin, do not let sins reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desire. And do not offer the part of your body to sin as instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as though who has been brought from death to life, and offer the part of your body to him as instrument of righteousness. Okay. What did I just say? I want to go back. That 2 points. What did I just say? The four Bible verses. Romans 6, 6:7, 6:14, and 6 what? 22? 18? Oh, man. So, not many people, you know, listen, you know. Six, seven, 6:14, 6:18, 6:22. These are very, very important passage, because this is what we have. We have already been set free from sins. That's why we have to act according what we have. Write that down. This is what we have. 6:7, 6:14, 6:18, 6:22. We have what we have already. We have the ability to do it now. That's why do not let sin reign in your life anymore. Do not offer your body to the wickedness. Okay? This is what it is. Now I read it one more time. 6:7. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. 6:14. For sins shall not be your master, because you are not under law. The reason why you are not under law, because you died with Jesus already. You're dead. I have never seen anyone who is in the coffin, who is in the casket, who sins against God. He's dead already. How can he do anything? He's dead, man. He's not under law. He was set free from the law. He's under grace now. But 6:14, I will explain more when I go to chapter 7. Okay? Now, 6:18. You have been set free from sin. Because you are now have been set free from sin, you have become slave to righteousness. 6:22. But now you have been set free from sins and have become slave to God. I want to stop here to explain that. You know what? To be a slave, you don't have a choice. You have to be a slave. Either you're a slave to sin, or you are a slave to impurity, slave to wickedness, or are you a slave to obedience, slave to righteousness, slave to God. You have no choice. If I slave to sins, slave to impurity, slave to wickedness, the end result is the wages of sin is death. But if I'm slave to obedience, slave to righteousness, if I'm slave to God, the end result is eternal life. Brother and sister, don't ever think when you become free, then you can do what you like to do. When you are not slave to Satan, you have to be slave to who? To God. You have no choice. That's why when Paul write that down in Romans chapter 1, what did he say? The NIV translation is he's the servant of God. No, the translation is wrong. He's a slave to God. He's a born slave. A lot of people, they don't understand. Oh, I'm free, you know, I'm free. When you are free, that means you have a choice to serve God or go back to the old way to serve Satan. That's what I mean by freedom. Okay? Now you see that. I say there's two steps so that I can be able to reign in life. First of all, I say die. D-I-E-D, die. It's a past tense. That means through baptism, I have already been dead with Jesus. So Jesus Christ died on the cross, not only died for you, he died what? Jean? With you. So you have to say yes by baptism. I want you to die with me. But when I die, I'm set free from sin. Secondly, not only die with Jesus, I live. That live is not a past tense. It's a present tense. I live with Jesus Christ. All this, die with Jesus, live with Jesus, also through baptism. Because if I united myself with Jesus Christ, in his death, I will be united with him in his resurrection. So, that's why the latter part, of, I mentioned the first part is 6:7, 6:14. The latter part of 6:18 and 6:20 talk about you're a slave to righteousness, you're a slave to what? To God. Slave to righteousness, slave to God means, Jesus, I am your slave. Wherever you go, I go. Whatever you say, I do. That's what it means by slave to God. Slave to God, that means what? He offer himself to God. Who is in control when you become a slave? The slave in control or the master in control? And then Paul say, whoever you are slave with, whoever is control your life. If you want to keep on being a slave to sin, then sin will be your master. If you keep on being a slave to God, God become your master. God say, you want to be my slave? Let me give you God's gifts of eternal life. That's what it really means by rewarding you. Wow, that's good, you know. I didn't study it word by word. And I used 20 minutes. I get what I want to say. Now, should we go back to see whether what I say is what the Bible say? Is it fair? I say two steps. Two steps that we can reign in our life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why did the Bible say 5:17, we have to be through our Lord Jesus Christ? 5:21, why we have to say through our Lord Jesus Christ? Through our Lord Jesus Christ is through that baptism. Die with him and resurrected with him. The moment you offer yourself as slave to obedience, slave to righteousness, slave to God, the moment you offer yourself as slave to God, slave to righteousness, slave to obedience, that means you have already resurrected. That means you live a new life. You want to be a slave to Satan? You are still a good old Adam. Actually, it's not good. It's a bad Adam, you still, under the old self, because your life hasn't been changed. You are not living a new life. Okay, write that down. Slave, you either slave to sin, impurity, and wickedness, then you are still what? Old self. When you slave to obedience, righteousness, and God, and slave to God, that means you live a new life. Do we have a choice? I don't think so. Now, do we understand the importance of baptism? You know what? When I mentioned it, even the district superintendent of Alberta, the district, don't even understand. And the professor in the Calgary, in the theology, don't even understand. Two professors questioned me. You know where you learned that from? I say I learned it from the Bible. Do you understand yourself? He thought that I'm a coach. They don't understand God's word and thought that I'm a coach. In our interview, I recorded in my computer. And he dare not say that I'm a coach. And all these elders, they don't even know what they're doing and they become an elder. And I know that in due time, Jesus Christ is going to judge him and I'm going to judge him. I say that one more time. Die with Jesus is a past tense. The moment you baptize, even though you baptize now, you identify yourself with Jesus. I died with you 2,000 years ago. I'm a dead man. If I'm dead, I'm not under law. If I'm dead, I'm under grace. If I'm dead, I'm not under sin. If I'm dead, I'm dead already. And besides the death that you die to sin. The life that you live to God. I follow you. How you live to God? I live to God too. So help me God. Amen. I like that. That's why I choose to tell you what I understand, and then let's read it to see whether what I say is true or not. Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? If I die to sin, that person is dead already. How can they live in sin anymore? What he's trying to say is, we are not under law. 14, for sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law and under grace. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? I died with Jesus already. The moment I baptize, the moment I make that decision, I die with Jesus because I need to live a new life. We were therefore buried with Jesus through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. The reason why people want to be baptized, because they declare to the whole world, I want to live a new life, not under sin, but under grace, under Jesus. I want to be his slave. This is a new life. Slave to God is a new life. Slave to obedience is a new life. Slave to righteousness is a new life. A new life means I have already been resurrected with Jesus. Verse 5. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self, that's from Adam. The old self is from Adam, the new life is from Jesus. Because Jesus Christ, because Adam was the pattern of Jesus Christ. Adam was a pattern of the one to come. 5:14. For we know that our old self was crucified, past tense, with Jesus in baptism, so that the body of sin may be done away with. May be done away with, NIV have another translation. So that the body of sin may be rendered powerless. The body of sin cannot control me anymore because I am set free. That's the thing you have to know, that you are set free already. Don't go back to the old way. That we should no longer be slave to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. When do we die? The moment we baptize ourselves in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is a retroactive backdated to 2,000 years ago. Now, verse 8, if we die with Jesus Christ, we believe that we will also live with Jesus. Circle the word die is the past tense, live is the present tense. We will live. The reason why I say we will live, the moment we understand this truth, we can put what we learn into practice. We will live, we will also live with him. Verse 9, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, Christ cannot die again. He only died once. Death no longer has mastery over him. That's why I want you to write that down. 6:9, you write down Revelation 1:18. Jesus Christ said to Apostle John, I was dead, but now I'm alive, and I will live forever and ever. Death has no mastery over Jesus Christ. If death has no mastery over Jesus Christ, death has no mastery over us too. So that's why, remember, yes, last week, what did I say? Two reign. Death reign in your life, or sin reign in your life. Now, all these things were destroyed because of our baptism. Verse 10. The dead Jesus Christ died, he died to sin. Sins is not for his own sins, it's for our sins, once for all. But the life he lives is the present tense. He lives to Jesus. He lived to God. Jesus Christ lived to God. 11. In the same way, count yourself dead to sins, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, because you have already been baptized. Verse 12. Therefore, do not let sins reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desire. When you obey its evil desire, that means evil desire is your master. You're slave to evil desire. Verse 13. Do not offer the part of your body to sin as instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as though who has been brought from death to life. Because you united yourself in baptism, in death, in burial, in resurrection. So that's why you can offer, you can live a new life. The letter two part, 6:18 and 6:20, is to prove when you offer your body, you offer the member of your body to Jesus, to God, that means you resurrected already. Because you are a new person. You're living a new life. Verse 14. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law. When you are under law, that means you are still alive. When you're under law, you have no choice but to let sin be your master. Since we are not under law, now we are under grace. Right beside under grace, you write down 5:17 and 5:21. Grace reigns through righteousness to bring eternal life to Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 15. What then shall we sin because we are not under law? But under grace, by no means. Don't you know that? Don't you know? It's the second time he mentioned, don't you know? The first time he said, don't you know? It's 6:3. Second time is, don't you know? Don't you know that means we don't know until we read it and believe in it. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slave, you are slave to the one whom you obey. Whether you are slave to sins which leads to death or slave to obedience which leads to righteousness. Lead to righteousness. I want you to write that down. 1:17. Go back to 1:17. The righteousness from God is from faith to faith. That is Romans 1:17. A righteousness from God that is by faith from first to last is supposed to be translated to from faith to faith. First faith is I believe in Jesus Christ. He died for me. Second faith is I believe in Jesus Christ. He died what? With me. That's from faith to faith. I still believe in it. I believe that through baptism, I die with Jesus already. Through baptism, I live a new life with Jesus already. I can be resurrected. That is what it means from first to last. Also by faith. Righteousness, that is by faith. From first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Okay. That's very good. I hope you understand. If you don't, you can raise your hand. So where are we now? Go back 6:15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that? When you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slave, you are slave to the one whom you obey, whether you are slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slave to sin, you wholeheartedly obey the form of the teaching to which you were entrusted. Brother and sister, whatever you learn today, I entrust this passage into your hand. When someone say anything other saying that, oh, baptism is just a virtue. If you want to do it, you do it. You don't want to do it, you don't need to do it. Then you know how to say it. I entrust this message to you. And I know that wholeheartedly you will obey this message because we know the end result. The wages of sin is what? Is that. But the gifts of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We know the consequences. We are wholeheartedly obey this message. But I entrust this message into you so that you can lead other people to Christ. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slave to sin, you wholeheartedly obey the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. Because Paul explained it so clearly and you say you still don't understand, what can I say? What can I say? Verse 18, you have been set free from sins and have become slave to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves, just as you used to offer the part of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. Don't be slave to impurity. Don't be slave to wickedness. Don't be slave to sin anymore. We have the ability to say no now. Before, we have no ability because we are under law. Now we are under grace. We are dead already. We can say no to ungodliness. What's the latter part of verse 19? So now offer them, offer the member of your body, offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slave to sins, you were free from the control of righteousness. That statement is very important. I can change it in another way. It also works. When you are now slave to righteousness, slave to God, you are free from the control of wickedness, control of Satan. Could you follow after me? Reread the 620, and then we change that to in a positive way. It applied the same way too. Read that together. When you were slave to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. But when you were slave to God, you are free from the control of who? Satan. Because you make that decision, you want to be slave to God. That's why Romans chapter 1, go back to Romans chapter 1, Paul, a born slave of Jesus Christ. Because I'm free from sin. So help me God. You identify yourself with Jesus Christ, united with Jesus Christ. Okay? Verse 21. What benefit did you reap at that time? From the things that you are now ashamed of, those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sins and have become slave to God, slave to God, I want you to write that down, 1-1. Paul did not say that, oh, I want you to be slave to God and then I'm a free man from God. No, he himself is a bond slave to God. That's why he wants you to follow Paul. For Paul say, follow me, for I follow Jesus Christ. Follow me, for I follow Jesus Christ. Verse 22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slave to God, the benefit you reap lead to holiness, and the result is eternal life. In conclusion, for the wages of sins is death, but the gifts of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Heavenly Father, I give you thanks to give the wisdom to Paul so that he can write it out systematically, logically, so that we understand the true meaning of in union with our Lord Jesus Christ through baptism. And help us to count ourselves dead with Jesus already, so that death cannot have mastery over us. If we die with Jesus, sins cannot reign over our body anymore. We can say no to wickedness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your passage. Thank you for entrusting the wonderful message to your servant. And I kept that in my heart, and I will keep on proclaiming until the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, amen.